You're listening to WWBC Cocoa Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web on 1510wwbc.com. You can select that and hit the Listen Live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. Or, of course, if you'd like to just listen to the archives of the show, they're also there on 1510wwbc.com by date. And then we also share it on all of our social media channels as well as our website, which is sitamediainc.com. You'll see a little blog and all kinds of pictures. And after 15 years of being on the show, Sita, we've got quite a lengthy library of folks.
Shows.
And, yeah, guests. Absolutely.
Excellent guests, right? So today is no different. Ellen O'Neill is here. She is my right hand for the show. Ali Tambor is here as well. Ali is one of our show's, I guess she's just living on this in the studio with us now. She resides with us.
I just can't stay
and
away.
Danny, of course, in his very lovely jacket from our good friend, what's his name with the mortgage
Brian
industry?
Spencer.
Brian Spencer.
That's right. Bespoke Clothiers.
I can't say enough about that.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, Ellen. Goodness. So for those who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we have an action-packed show. We've got, you know, we've had some friends came over a few years ago. The Boys and Girls Club was here, and it's no different that people who've been on our show and have had excellent results, they want to come back again. So I reached out to Erin, and I said, would you guys like to come on? Because today's a holiday, and I know she would be sending the kids, which I thought was wonderful. So we have with us in the studio Mr. Roderick Chapman, and he's the Youth Development for Staff, YDS. Welcome to our show. I'm sorry you're not near Mike, but feel free to come up.
Right. He's smiling. He's smiling over there.
Yeah. And along with Mr. Roderick Chapman, we have five teens. J.C. Brown is here. Tatum Harris, Isabella Manoya, just like my name. They always butcher my name too, girl. I got you. Jaden Simmons. Jaden, that's easy. And Jason Simmons. So what a great...
Riley.
You see what I mean? Update my sheet, will you? Riley is here. So Riley
the
is taking Jason's
Riley
place.
In the back.
You know, that's why we tell our friends and family and our listening audience that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun. It's interesting. It's very unscripted. We give out valuable information on our show so that people can make an informed decision on whatever they want to do in life. Sometimes people want to talk about the environment. Sometimes they want to talk about how to save money. Some people want to talk about maybe just going to school and talking about books and teachers. Whatever it is, we give them a platform on our show. So it is unscripted. So welcome. I see you have a mic. You can say thank you, or you could say you're happy to be here. Let's see.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, way to go.
So, Ellen, our first segment, we're supposed to have a gentleman that's calling in that's written a book, and his name is Mr. Eric Henderson, and he's supposed to call in on the first segment. I am going to hand you my phone and see if that was him that just called my phone by accident, because everybody knows that people call us sometime on air when we're on air on my cell phone instead of calling on the 632-1510 number.
That's right. But we had a great week. Did you have a great Valentine's week, Sita? I know I'm my goal this week is to try and work off all the sweets that I had this week with cakes, because you had a birthday this week and Valentine's Day, and you had everybody.
I had a pretty good Valentine. My husband is one of those characters that does not like to leave the house and eat in restaurants. So I ended up inviting a few friends over and making some of the usual curry chicken, baked salmon, a salad,
nice.
A vegetarian shepherd's pie. We had some cakes and cookies and then went to the gym the next day. Life is good. Can't complain.
It's really good.
But anyways, let's see if we could find our friend, Mr. Eric Henderson, and see if he's still calling in. Now I'm getting a little worried because I did tell him to call in at 1:03 Eastern Time. That's not him. Okay. All right. Well, then, Ellen, let's just go right to the Boys and Girls Club, and let's talk to Mr. Roderick Chapman while we wait on our guest and see if Mr. Chapman could come up to one of the mics and talk to us a little bit about the five wonderful friends that he brought in with him to our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Okay. Thank you.
It's always lovely to have young ones in the studio because our role as older, wiser, bolder people on this planet is to mentor the young children and make sure that these children have a future that's brighter than a bulb. Like when you turn a bulb on.
Yeah.
These kids have to have a bright future. They have to have wonderful mentors. And, you know, one of the things that I learned that General Colin Powell had said before he passed away, everybody wanted him to speak at all these events. And he said one of the things that young children needs all over the world is one thing, guidance.
Yes, he did.
And Mr. Chapman, I think that's you right there. So if you can tell us what the mission is of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, we would appreciate it.
Well, our mission is to inspire and enable all young people, especially those that with disadvantaged situation, will be more provincial in their lifestyle, to be more understanding, to be more loving and kind in this generational time. Because we see our young folks, really, they need this understanding that there are people for them. And even as young people, they can mentor to other people. And by having those core values, we can help change our community. We can make an impact in our community. Because like I said, a lot of people looking for other people, but actually, by being part of an organization like the Boys and Girls Club, it instills you, okay, what I've learned, I can take it out these four walls, go out to the community, and be the person I am. No matter what color you are, no matter what sex you are, whatever it is. The point with the Boys and Girls Club is to inspire everyone. Because all these young folks around me, I call them my grandchildren. They know that.
Yes. Well, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, well, I don't want to pay taxes, right? But think about it. When you pay taxes and your dollars go towards programs in our community, or it goes towards roads, post office, public schools, healthcare, you feel like the children, the people that are benefiting from all of that, they're part of you.
Yes, they are.
They're part of your community.
Yes.
Right? And I do feel like that is something that people need to start thinking about when they go to work and instead of belly aching, oh, I got to pay taxes, think about where it's going.
Correct.
This is the future right here.
Right.
They need a public education. They need after-school programs.
Yes.
They need people to volunteer. We right. need people like you, Mr. Chapman. So let's hear from one of the kids. I would like to know how the children got involved and some of the services offered by the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. Go ahead. What's your name, love?
Hi, I'm Isabella.
Isabella is going to tell us how she got involved with the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. And then I think we'll go to our guest.
Okay, so how I got involved. Basically, the Boys and Girls Club is like 5 minutes away from my house, and my mom always wanted me to be a part of it. She kind of looked into it online and saw how it was, how it provided for the community and everything.
So she thought you would benefit from it.
Yes.
Well, guess what, Ellen? We're going to hear more about the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, the second segment. In the meantime, I think our guest, Mr. Eric Henderson, is on the phone. Mr. Henderson, are you on the phone with us?
I am on the phone, and I'm terribly sorry. I'm 5 minutes late.
That's okay. Well, you know, we have some wonderful guests in studio, and we were able to have them talk to us about their segment, which is coming up second. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I know that you live in Colorado, and you've written a book called Teachings from State U, What You Learned. And I've glanced at most of what you said, and you're an amazing man, and your life is valuable, sir, and I'm glad you wrote the book.
Well, honey, I appreciate the compliment. And a little bit about myself. I'm 59 years old, and as you said, I live in Colorado. I spent most of my life in Texas, originally born in Missouri. So I've kind of traveled around a little bit through my lifetime. Ended up in Colorado in 2021 and was inspired to write the book just after I found a publisher about a year ago. So I was inspired to write it.
Right.
And of course, I'm married and got my stepson and my grandson living with me here, and everything's good.
Well, we're lucky to have you call in on such a day as today, because we have with us in studio five young, beautiful children from the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, as well as Mr. Roderick Chapman, who is the youth development staff coordinator here with us. So we're going to, I figured, you know, this would be a good show, because whatever you say, young minds will listen. And maybe you could make an impact, not just on me, on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends, but our listeners as well. So talk to me a little bit. Now, you were incarcerated, and it was an unthinkable tragedy, but I have no idea what the tragedy was. I didn't get time to read the entire book. So if you could tell us about it, we would appreciate it.
Well, the tragedy was the loss of my three-year-old son to my wife at the time. It was his stepmother. There was one morning she woke up and I was at work, and she had decided that basically that my three-year-old did not need to live anymore. So she beat him to death, just to be upfront about it. She was sentenced to a life sentence, but because he was my responsibility and it was up to me to take care of him and protect him, the state of Texas charged me with omission, which is meaning I knew there was something going on and I failed to report it. But regardless, I still stepped up and I said, look, he was my responsibility, so therefore I accept the sentence. And I was sentenced to 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm grateful that you're able to share your experience with us and your knowledge. But you know, we have our sheriff in town has a saying that he says all the time, if you see something, say something. And I think that's what you're
saying.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. So while you were incarcerated, you wrote the book, and there's so many chapters in your book that deals with so many things that's happening right now in our world, right here in Brevard County, Florida, and throughout the state of Florida. One of the things that you wrote about was respect. So talk to us a little bit about what you learned in prison after you were for 20 years you were in, what you learned about respect.
The one thing I learned about respect, of course, while I was incarcerated, that is one of the main things that you have to know in there and practice in order to survive, which is a complete respect not only for others, but to not allow yourself to be disrespected. So what I did is I compared that to what I was before I was incarcerated, where I did not really have respect for a lot of people. After going through incarceration, I realized the value that all people deserve respect regardless. And I have a saying, and I believe I quote it in the book, where I said, respect is something everybody wants, but they must be willing to give in order to receive. So it changed my entire belief about respect while I was in there, that all people deserve respect regardless, unless those people create a situation where it creates harm or it's a disrespectful action against somebody. And in those cases, if somebody disrespects me, I walk away.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're not going to respect me. I'm not going to disrespect you, but I'm not going to associate with you.
Well, the voice of reason in the studio is shaking her head. Go ahead, Allie, jump in there.
Yeah, that's an excellent way to look at it, and that to remove yourself from the disrespect and to move forward and let others appreciate your respect for them. I think that's
exactly.
An excellent idea.
Right. And so while you were in there, you dealt with a lot of things. One of the things you dealt with was, you said, was racism as well?
Yes. Yes, exactly. I mean, it's prevalent in our judiciary, however you want to put it, in the prison system. you are divided basically in groups, and the groups are divided by race. And I encountered situations where I could be friends with, say, a black man or a Hispanic. I could be friends with them, but if a fight broke out between Hispanics and whites or blacks and whites, I had to be standing with my people. Otherwise, I would be part of their problem, that they would harm me if I did not stand with white people.
So you had to learn to you had to learn to survive, is what you're saying.
Yes, I had to learn to navigate that, but at the same time, I did not want to become a so-called racist. I didn't want, again, it goes back to the respect. I respect everybody, regardless of who they are, what race they are, or anything. But in there, you have to align yourself with your people, as they say. You have to align with them in order to survive.
Yes. So how long did it take you to write the book?
It took me about 6 months once I got on it. Like I said, I started writing it last year when I got a publisher locally here in Loveland, an independent publisher, and it took me about 6 months. I'd actually wanted to start writing this all the way back right before I went to prison. I wanted to start writing. And, you know, I just procrastinated until I got a publisher who said, we'll do it for you, you know, we'll get you published and everything. So I got on it.
All right. And who was your inspiration to write this book?
Well, my main inspiration for this book, and I have two more that I'm going to be writing, is, of course, my son, who I lost back in 2000s, my three-year-old. I approached this as he did not get a chance to live his life. Therefore, anything I do from this day on, accomplishments or whatever, it's not about me. It's for him and him only. It's his accomplishments. It's what he should have done in his life. So I've kind of dedicated the rest of my life to whatever I do and whatever I accomplish and whatever I manage to make work. It's all him. It's all my son, Jake, and that was his name, Jake.
Well, may Jake rest in peace. And so while you were writing this book, I'm sure you must have said to yourself, there were certain goals that you had, and who was your target audience to read this book? You must have said, you know, this book is going to benefit this person or that person. Who did you have in mind?
My target audience is mainly for people who find themselves in similar situations or same situations that I was in. My hope is if you read the book and you realize that you're in a similar situation as I was in, that my words could help guide you, could help you understand. You're in this situation. This is what I did, this was my approach, and this is what I took from the situation to better myself. So my goal is people out there who find themselves in an abusive relationship or just facing incarceration or coming out of incarceration, which will be, like I said, my next two books, is this is what I did, maybe this will work for you, help guide you, because when you come out of incarceration, you have no clue how your world's going to be. You don't know if you're going to be able to work. You're not going to be able, if people are going to associate with you. So I'm kind of trying to tell people, it's okay you were incarcerated, but remember these lessons that I give you, that I'm saying to you. Keep these in mind. It will help. So that's my target audience.
Yeah, we've had a lot of social workers and politicians and people that came on our show and talked about recidivism, and we've had so many people that came on our show and spoke about housing after someone comes out of incarceration. We've done a lot of shows about people who've been imprisoned and came out and had a very difficult time getting into school, getting a place to live, getting food, water, shelter, becoming homeless. I'm sure you saw a lot of that as well.
I truly did. I can always remember the first job I applied for. It was 2 months after I got out. It was for a warehouse. It was for moving boxes. I was very honest in my resume and in my application. I let them know I just got out of prison. And to have the hiring manager at the end of the interview look over at me and say, well, we feel you're overqualified for this job, made me realize that, no, I'm not overqualified. You just don't want to hire somebody that just came out of prison.
Yeah, and what kind of work did you do prior to your arrest and incarceration?
I was actually working for my mom. She had her own company for over 30 years, an electronics company, and I was actually in line to, once she retired, I was going to take over the company. So there was an incredible amount of loss because of my bad choices, and I lost all that opportunity. I, you know, could have been running a company to this day and been successful in business, and of course, the main thing, my son would still be here today. So there was an incredible amount of loss right before I went in.
Yeah, well, I could, you know, I think oftentimes we have to put ourselves in other people's shoes and have compassion and empathy. And I could hear the remorse in your voice as well. So I'm sure you blame yourself, but was this something that you feel you could have done prior to all this happening? Did you seek counseling? Did you have social services? What did you do before all this took place?
Well, hindsight is always 20/20, of course, and I can actually pinpoint the exact day that I could have avoided all this. And it comes down to, and I know you have kids sitting there, and I want them to remember this, that in any situation, you have minimum at least two choices, and based on your choice, it's going to determine what happens. So I had met my wife the night that I played a gig. I had three choices that night. I could have went home, I could have went with another person to another place, or go with her. And because I chose her, I put my life on that path that led to the loss of my son and the devastation in my life.
So what you're saying is life is about choices.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you have to really weigh those choices, because on that particular night, and I will admit this, I was a married man with two kids, and here was this girl at this club. I could have went home to my wife and kids and avoided all that, and I made the wrong choice.
Yeah, you said you were in a gig. Ellen here is a singer. She's got her own band. What were you singing, playing instruments? What were you doing?
I was in a classic rock band, and I play bass and keyboards, and I sing.
Oh, wow. Well, let's go back to the book. We've got a few more minutes left. One of the things you touch on in the book is faith and truth. How did your faith help you during your incarceration?
My faith?
Yes. Did you have any?
My faith?
Mm-hmm.
I went into prison angry at God, of course, because I couldn't understand why you put me into this situation and why did you take my son. But I slowly evolved into, no, I can't blame, you know, religion. I can't blame anybody but myself. So my faith came from my inner self accepting my circumstances, accepting my choices, and saying, okay, I've got to get right. I've got to end old habits. So my faith was within myself, and then it was, of course, within my surviving children, that I had to be there for them, and I had to show them an example of, I messed up, but here's what I'm going to do to fix it, and my life is dedicated to you. So my faith was really in my own family.
So it was a lot of reflection, a lot of regret, a lot of resentment. But you also found a way to get to that point where all human beings at some time, they get to that point in their life where we can forgive. And so you got to that point where you had to exercise some sort of forgiveness as well towards the circumstances and the people involved.
Yes, exactly. Now, I admit that it's hard for me to forgive. I don't know if I ever will forgive my ex-wife. I can't bring myself to that point. Perhaps maybe that's something I need to continue to work on. But I had to start forgiving myself for making those choices. And it's not so much I need to forgive as my kids, who are now grown now, my remaining kids, do they forgive me? And that's what's important to me. It's, I tell people all the time, and I tell my kids, don't try to make yourself, make me proud of you. I'd rather you be proud of me. And that's the way I look at them. I will always be proud of my kids, no matter what. But I strive for them to be proud of their father.
Well, here's a question for you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because so many people talk about, you know, faith and family and friendship and food and all these things, but a lot of people don't actually mean it. They just, it's just words that they mumble. Some people read religious texts and they just mumble it. They don't really mean it. But I'm going to ask you this from the bottom of my heart, Mr. Eric Henderson, how are you? How are you as a human being? How are you feeling today? How are you doing?
Today, I feel good. I really do. I feel good that I was able to get this first book written. I feel good about the person that I am. I try to take every day, one day at a time, and I try again. I respect everybody. I love helping people nowadays. I'm more about, I want to promote this helpfulness and show people that, hey, you're my friend. I'm there for you. Don't you ever forget that. You need something, I'm able to do it. I'm there for you. And I just try to stay away from negativity. I try to stay away from anger, because anger to me just, it expels energy that doesn't need to be expelled. It takes too much energy to be angry, so I prefer to just be a calm person and approach everything calmly and approach it with care and approach it with respect. And that's, I feel really good about myself as a person now, as opposed to the person that went right into incarceration.
Right, and you're going to be writing other books, of course, and when do we expect those books to come out?
The next book should be out, I'm hoping, by August or September this year. It's actually the sequel to the current book, and it talks about the 20 years I've spent from the time I walked out of prison to today on how I rebuilt and how I approached everything.
Right, and do you see the difference with the treatment that you receive from your family and friends now that from prior to incarceration? How does people receive you when you speak to them, when you sit with them? Just take us through that.
Well, before I was incarcerated, I mean, my family supported me and everything, but once that incident happened, I lost their trust. I lost everything with them. They didn't believe a word I said, because, yeah, quite frankly, I was a liar. But when I came out, there was a time period that there was still that distrust. There was still that unsureness of who I was with my family. And I knew that I had to work on that, and that mainly with my parents, is I wanted to get their trust back. And unfortunately, both my parents have passed since this time period, but before they passed, I had their trust, and that felt really good that I was able to come back and convince them that I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah,
this
is
me now.
Well, all you can do is try, right? All you could do is try, and you've got your freedom back. Now, in the state that you live in, are you able to vote? Because, you know, we had the people here from the Restoration of Rights on our show quite a few times, where people were fighting for folks who were incarcerated and now trying to get their voting rights back. So would you be able to vote again?
Actually, my sentence ended in May of 2020, and amazingly enough, in Texas, once my sentence was complete, I had my right to vote. There was no filing paperwork, just simply go register. You have your right to vote. And I've had my right to vote since then, and I truly, truly love having that back.
Right, because you, in your book, you talked a little bit about politics and trade and commerce, and you did learn a lot. You did learn a lot in there, bartering and all this kind of stuff. So maybe you could take the experience that you had there, and when you speak to other people, one of the things we need in the United States and all over the world is prison reform. And when people go in mm-hmm. for something and they come out, they should be treated as a human being. People need a place to live. They need a job. They need, like you say, respect. Because once you pay your time and you become a member of society again and a citizen, I think we all ought to understand that nobody's perfect. And if you do believe in faith exactly. and the foundation for our country, we should be kind to one another. So tell us where we can find your book, and if somebody's interested in having you speak at an event or something, how they can find you, your website or your contact information.
Okay, well, as far as the book, it's on Amazon and Kindle. You can go on there and search by the title, Teachings from State U. It's available, like I said, both on Amazon and Kindle. And fortunately, I don't have an actual website, but I do have a Facebook page, and you can search it by Eric Henderson Writer. You can search that on Facebook, and you can contact me on there. I do have a writer's page as well on Instagram, Eric Henderson Writer again. I try to keep it simple for folks. So that's the best way to contact me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Eric Henderson, for calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I'm sorry for the loss of your son, but I'm grateful to God that you're able to take your experience and try to make the lives of other people better. And you're doing your best to leave a footprint on planet Earth. That I always say that it's our responsibility to leave the Earth a better way than we found it. Ellen, you take it away from there.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you having me on.
And we will share all of your great information on our Facebook and our social media channels, as well as our website. But before we go to the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, we are going to take a brief moment and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, charred grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionsllc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. What a great show so far. You know, Ellen, we're heard right here on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices live and in person. Or if you'd like our archives of our shows, they're downloadable. We post them on all of our social media, as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com.
You know, one of the things that I treasure myself about is when I ran for office for state representative, I met people from all walks of life, all religions, all races, people just from normal everyday life and from elsewhere. And I always said, I swore that people needed to be treated with respect, no matter who it was, because, of course, we wanted their vote, right? But oftentimes, you see somebody like Mr. Eric Henderson that is incarcerated, comes out of prison, and then faces all these challenges and obstacles, and you ask yourself, where are the politicians? Like, you cannot use people just because you want their vote. You cannot use people just because you need a photo op. You have to understand that people want their lives to be valued.
Right, absolutely.
And once you pay your time after committing your crime and you can vote again and your rights are restored, let's all hope and pray that these people can find jobs and a place to live and they don't become homeless on the streets, because then that becomes a bigger problem.
That's right.
So I think his book that he wrote would help people, and why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Teachings from State U.
Lessons that he learned. And so our second segment now is with our good friends from the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. And we already had our introduction by Mr. Roderick Chapman, and he brought with him the five kids. So I'm going to let our kids go around the room and just introduce themselves and tell us how they got involved with the Boys and Girls Club. We'll start with the young man right there.
Jaden. I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this bet. I know everybody's names
okay.
now.
So Jaden, you go for it.
Well, hello. My name is Jaden. I got involved with the Boys and Girls Club by, you know, just my appearance. They saw that I was that kid that wasn't interacting enough with everybody else or didn't go outside. And they found a club. I was like, hey, this could be a next good step for you, something that can get you into communicating with others or just being who you can freely be without judgment. That's pretty much how it all got started.
Okay.
Riley?
Ellen knows the name.
I do. Yeah. I'm going to call everybody's name out because I'm getting good at it now.
Okay, Riley, we just want to know how you got involved with the Boys and Girls Club. Was it your grandparents, a referral from a teacher, a neighbor? How did you get involved?
Well, my name's Riley. My cousins actually started going to the Boys and Girls Club, and they introduced me to it, and my brothers and things like that, so kind of how I got involved, and you know, I loved it, and I got a lot of relationships out of it, and I'm enjoying it. I've been here since 2016, so yeah.
Oh wow, long time. Yeah. And what's the youngest person in the Boys and Girls Club?
Six.
6 years old. Yeah. Wow, it's a great age to get started. Okay. And what about you, Tatum?
I got introduced.
Give me that look. She wants to talk.
I got introduced to the Boys and Girls Club by a friend. I think I was in seventh grade and she was in eighth grade. And then she was like going during the school year. And then she was like, it's fun. You should start coming. And so I asked my mom. And then JC was telling me how to sign up and get started. And then I started like during the summer. And I've been going ever since. And this year I just started during the school year. And it's fun.
It's awesome. Isabella?
Isabella's got her own mic.
No, JC. You're wrong.
I'm wrong. All right. I'll stay in my lane.
Wait, I think I already went before.
You could say it again.
That's okay. Yeah, what you got involved.
Yeah.
It's nice having you guys in the studio. It's fun.
My mom always, excuse me. My mom saw it down the road because we live like 5 minutes away, and it's like right around our block. And she was like, we would always pass it and we would be like, what is this building? Like, what is this? So we were curious about it. And my mom, I guess she took it upon herself one day to look into it. And she saw all these great experiences and, what's the word?
Opportunity?
opportunities, yes, that you can get from the Boys and Girls Club, and she wanted us to be a part of it. And I really appreciate that of her. That's love great. My mom.
And JC, you were the one that got Tatum involved, sounds like.
Yeah. I started from my mom. She was like, we need to do something after school, because we were always at home. Like, me and my sister, we were always at home, like, just playing around. She was like, you guys are really active. You guys should do something after school. So she looked into the Boys and Girls Club, and she went one day, and she got a tour. And when she said there was a studio there, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go. Like, sign me up, because I love to sing, so I wanted to go. And
wait a second. Stop the presses. There's a studio there?
Yes. So
that could change everything.
Yeah.
I went and I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And now, like, I'm attached to the Boys and Girls Club. Like, I have so many, like, friendships and relationships there.
Right. And somebody in this group is the youth of the year.
Jaden.
So let's hear a little bit about, for 10 years, you are the youth of the year, and this is going to help you with your scholarships and leadership skills and college and all that.
Youth of the year. So this is about the second time I went through youth of the year. I went last year, I was in 11th grade, which is really for 12th grade, but you know, I'm going to try again. I'm really using this platform to help me, build my foundation for like the next steps of my life. Especially for college. College is my main thing for me. As I've been applied to 14, gratefully I've been accepted into about 11 of them. My top three are Howard University, VMU, and Florida Tech Institution. And I believe with Youth of the Year, I'm able to expand my horizons and be able to go through and get to the next step. And also motivating young youth or teens like these, my fellow friends right here, to do better and be better so I can be like the role model.
You got accepted to how many schools?
I got accepted to 11.
11 schools. Wow. That's amazing. In this environment right now where it is, the competition is so high, congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank and he you. Set such a good example, too, for the younger children, the younger adults.
Well, and
who
I
are
wanted
there.
To say, Isabella was talking about that earlier, a few minutes ago, about the mentorship piece. And I think JC was talking about it, too. Tell us about mentoring. And, you know, just you being you, Jaden, like being student of the year?
Youth of the year.
Youth of the year. That's a huge thing for people to look up to. But most of you are mentors as well, right, to the younger folks? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, most of us are part of what we call Keystone Club. So we use that right there is pretty much that's something we're obligated to do as we join the club because we have our own interest into it. That's one thing we're obligated to do to mentor the younger youth. Be a role model for them to let them know that they have someone to come talk to or be with when they feel down or need help with homework. We're there for them or just to have fun with them. Because I know back then when I was a little kid, I didn't want to talk to nobody until the mentors, like from a few years ago, they came to me. It was like, hey, let's do this, that. And that's what kind of helped me open myself up.
Yeah, so it looks like the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida helps to build self-confidence as well. Because that's what I'm seeing in all five of you. Your self-confidence is going through the roof, and I love it. So I don't know if Mr. Chapman could get to one of the mics, but I wanted to ask him.
I'll make him get to one of the mics.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the mission of the Boys and Girls Club and some of the services that the club offers.
Well,
obviously there's group humiliation as well.
Yeah. Your children are misbehaving when you cough.
Yes. Like I said, some service we provide is
and the mission statement is quite it's inspiring.
To speak on that, truthfully speak on that, I'm taking another direction.
Okay.
When I first joined this job almost 9 years ago, I was going to take it as just a part-time job. But when I started going there and starting building a relationship with these young folks and noticing that these young people, a lot of them do not have a male figure in their life. And by speaking to them, and they keep coming back, and of course, it made me feel like I can't go nowhere because this is what God has sent me. Because I also work in a school system. And there's so many young people, like I said, their parents are either locked up, separated. They don't know what direction to go, but they're always seeking for a male figure. That's why I try to talk to a lot of men, like, you need to be more involved in the community. be involved in the school, because once, like I said, 5 years down the road, we had a 10-year anniversary. We had kids come back to me. I almost cried. Y'all didn't know that. Because they all hugged me and said, Mr. Chapman, you done so much. You spoke, you inspired me. And it just made me feel good that I'm being helpful for a young person to find themselves, to build the self-confidence, because I'm a veteran, to build up the confidence and become what they want to be in life.
It's amazing.
Well, and you know, some of the core programs of the Boys and Girls Club is health and life skills.
Yes.
And one of the things that the Boys and Girls Club teaches is making good choices.
Correct.
Which is what our guest before was speaking about. Not just about nutrition and fitness, but setting goals and avoiding common pitfalls. Character and leadership development, like we saw with a young man. You say the name?
Jaden.
All right. Education and career development.
She's from Trinidad. It would be messed up anyway.
Sports and fitness recreation. And what I really like, and any of the kids could answer this one, is that they're open during the summer and after school every day. So you know how sometimes we've done shows before about children who are home in the summer and they don't have any food to eat. And we've had people who were homeless that came on the show and talked about the summers, how difficult it is to have somewhere safe for young people to go. So talk to us a little bit about this after-school program and the summers.
Riley?
Yes, so during the school year and summer, we have like field trips, and there's it's always like a safe place to come to. We always have snack packs, and we provide hot food and lunches also during the summertime. There's a lot of resources at the Boys and Girls Club if you don't have them at home also. During the summer, there's lots of field trips. We go to like Disney World, and we go a lot of places. So it's for kids who also don't get out a lot at home, and you know, we have volunteers and things that help us go places, so there's not much money involved for the children who are less fortunate. So, that's kind of what we do.
That's a lot. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a dance room, studio, VR room.
And I think JC, right, JC, you're probably more involved in the studio and the music side of it. What do you do over the...
So, really, at school and at the Boys and Girls Club, when I go to Boys and Girls Club, I'm usually always singing. Like, Mr. Chapman, he hears me always singing. And he tells me I need to be on Broadway. I need to go to New York.
She do.
But at school, I'm in a theater class, and I'm doing great things there. But when I go to the Boys and Girls Club, I feel, like, more open to, like, what I want to do, because the staff are always helping me out and, like, filling me in.
You feel like you belong.
Yeah.
It's a sense of belonging, right? And I think all human beings, from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed, we want to belong to our tribe. We find our place in life, and that's where we are. We want to be valued. We want to be appreciated. And I'm going to have the young man, Jaden, talk to us a little bit, Jaden. Now, there are three locations, right, for the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. Which ones do you guys attend?
We attend the one right here in Cocoa, the Cocoa Branch.
Right. And Mr. Chapman, we're going to have to bring you back to a mic for this one, because our listeners on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends, they always ask us questions like, how is this funded? So how is the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida funded? And what can our listeners do to get involved in some of the events that the Boys and Girls put on so that you can get funds to help?
A lot is funded by donations. And we hold special events. Like we just came from one called Party in the Park. We raise money through that activity to help out our clubs, our organization. People who want to volunteer. We love people to volunteer, especially because when they volunteer, they see what we can do for our young people and how it can benefit the community. So it's not just about the club, it's about the community. What these kids learn from the community, I mean, what they learn from the Boys and Girls Club later on in life, and we see they come back and take care of their club. They take care of their community and the Boys and Girls Club. Like they said, with Denzel Washington, Shaquille, and all those who left the Boys and Girls came back and gave and given more to the community.
Yeah, so you're actually promoting productive, responsible citizens for the future.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Yes.
And that's what we, when while we're looking at the kids in the studio today, that's what we're seeing. And Ellen will say their names one more time in case this podcast goes back to their parents. They can hear their full names. If you don't, they can say their names.
I don't know full names, but JC, Isabella, Tatum, Riley, and Jaden.
Right. And now, if you guys were to, in 30 seconds or less, I'm going to let all the young people, for 30 seconds or less, if you met someone in your school or in your neighborhood, and you were to do a 30-second ad and say why someone should join the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, anybody who wants, I know Jaden is ready to go. Go
yeah,
for
but
it.
He needs a microphone yeah, in front of
you. You go ahead and try to instill in other people why they should become part of the Boys and Girls Club.
All right, so other individuals should become a part of the Boys and Girls Club because you're not just sitting there doing the same thing over and over again. Like, we have different things like the dance studio, the music room, VR room, conference room, game rooms, makerspace room, art room, STEM room. There's a lot of things to do. It's not just one simple thing, like one little thing you're doing every single day. And I know for me, the opportunities I know I've been up that I got opportunity to do was like the college and career fairs that we have. That kind of really set off to like what I want to do. It helped me get my first job. And just the programs that the staff have put together has launched to where I never knew I could be. Like right now, I'd be the Youth of the Year. So I think that's
yeah. And like right Mr. There. Chapman was saying, there aren't a lot of role models in the homes. We all know that the foundation for everything starts in the home. And Mr. Chapman is taking that role where he is part of the foundation. Do you see a lot of children in the Boys and Girls Club that needs more mentoring, more people to be involved in their lives?
Most definitely. I know for me personally, my father, he kind of left us a little bit. Mr. Chapman and other staff has stood there and like been that parent for me when I had a hard time, a rough time in school or just in my personal life. I know some kids in the club, they don't have their parents for support. Like some parents don't support them or they're not there for them when they need them. So I think Mr. Chapman and Ms. Katasha.
So
whoever
mentoring is very important. And Mr. Chapman, this is where you come in handy. Do you have room for more mentors? Do you have room for more mentors? And how can someone get involved?
Yes, we do have more room. how to get involved, just find the local Boys and Girls Club or go online and look up Boys and Girls Club. And then that's when you go in there, you can get information on how to become a volunteer.
And like the website is very very easy to follow.
Yes, it is.
Very nice layout.
Yes, it is. Like I always said, we would love to have more men. I know women doing a job, but we need more men. You see all the violence.
Yeah, all you guys out there, come on, give them an hour or two a month.
That's all and that's all they need is an hour. Because somebody just want to sit and talk to you, vent, and you just your presence there. Give them strength and hope.
Right. Now, the ladies in the room right here, this leadership skills of these ladies, they want to say something. So take the mic and say whatever you guys are whispering there. I know.
Well,
actually,
I kind of set
something.
Them. I know. I set them on a little bit of a spin because I said, what about singing a song for 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Like all of them to come up with a song. But I just want to jump in to let you know that as part of my profession is I'm a musician. I've been playing in bands for the last 6 years. I play full-time out. The things that you're learning in your AV department and in your theater group and in your dance group, those things are not taught outside. It's not like, you know, you can go to Full Sail, sure, and get, but you don't get the real deal where you guys are all giving each other feedback and giving each other love about the things that you do. So the artist and the creative side of what the Boys and Girls Clubs are doing for you, I can just say from an adult that's doing it professionally, I can tell you that is a valuable, valuable asset that you won't get anywhere because there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of other crazy stuff that goes on in the big world, you know, of all of that. Get all of the learning and all of the creativity because you can use it in everything.
Right.
I was a public speaker for 15 or 20 years as well. So that all kind of all stemmed, that performing piece and that confidence that you all have is just an amazing addition to your lives. And I'm just so happy that you're happy.
And I think Mr. Chapman is going to agree with me here. We have 2 minutes left, that education and career development with the Boys and Girls Club and Jaden, this is so important, that to prepare for the future, your children have to stay in school. You've got to focus. You've got to be guided by people like us. Whether it's trade or college or going into the armed forces, but do something productive with your lives to make people like Mr. Chapman and all of us in the community proud of you. Right? Yes. And so anybody wants to say something? We have 1 minute
left. How about
left.
Singing go. For 15 seconds?
Well, I think she wants to say something. Go ahead. Anybody wants to say something? Ellen. All right. Go ahead, Ellen.
Go ahead.
Okay. Some people want it all, but I don't want nothing at all. If it ain't you, baby, if I ain't got you, baby. Some people want diamond rings, some just want everything, but everything means nothing if I ain't got you.
Oh, that was a beautiful song for the Boys and Girls Club of right. Central Florida.
Well, you know,
awesome.
And I'm going to let
JC, that was beautiful.
We're going to let Mr. Chapman close this off for us. If he can get to the mic, if you could give us the website or some information about people who are willing to donate their time, energy, effort, talent to these young adults in the room and to the people at the Boys and Girls Club for all the wonderful thing they're doing for health and life skills, character development, student and career development for people like our young man Jaden over there, and sports, fitness, and recreation. Maybe somebody can't give money on time, but they could donate a piece of equipment.
Yes.
Right? So yes. If you could give us that website one more time.
That website is bgca.org. B as in Bravo, C as in Charlie, brings me G as in golf, C as in Charlie, A as in Alpha, bgca.org.
Yeah, we do
will make sure we share all of that information as well.
Find it on our site.
Yes.
It's all about taking responsibility for our children in our community, no matter what walk of life they come from.
That's right.
And what race, we know where we are, we have to know where they're going.
Right.
It's all about guidance.
Guidance and understanding, most of all, compassion. Yes. Because these young folks need love. If you speak to them, you
are. So all the adults that are in our listening audience right now, just know that there is a Coco branch of the Boys and Girls Club right here in Brevard County that is doing wonderful things with the youth in our area. We're looking for male mentors specifically.
Well, and
but
it's not
anybody.
Enough to have children. Get involved
That's
in your
right.
children's life. Right. Men, women out there, if you have children, they need you. Like our first guest said, even if you screw up, get back on track and get involved.
Amen. Well, thank you all, everyone, for being a part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. Thank you to Eric Henderson for calling in and sharing his information about his book. Of course, each and every Monday, we're right here on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC. We'll see you next week.